Welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the endarkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, where our goal is to turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction, to bring people together in fruitful conversation instead of having people defend their positions. Today, we're going to be talking about the elections. Now, in the wake of the 2016 election, millions of Americans were awakened to what they perceived as a battle for the heart and soul of America. And many people became politically active, maybe for the first time. And they joined various resistance movements, and they got involved in supporting battleground state campaigns in the 2018 midterm elections. Well, this being a presidential year, everybody seems to be focused on the national election and national issues, but maybe there's actually a more fertile field to cultivate. Our guest this week is veteran activist and consultant Lenore Goldman, and she shows us where perhaps the real change takes place, the grassroots, particularly statehouse elections. We're at a time when the power of money overwhelmingly controls the airwaves. The new playing field is on the ground, the door-to-door campaigns where real people talk with real people, and where people who've been disenfranchised by and are cynical about the system can be motivated to vote. Consider how much energy people waste on social media, throwing slings and barbs at people on the other side who are never going to be convinced. What if that energy was used in a focused way to bring new voters to the polls and swing the swing states from the grassroots up? What if instead of arguing with people who don't agree with us, we spent that time encouraging those who do? Lenore Goldman will tell us why and how to get off the old battlefield and mobilize the power of people to prevail over the power of money on a new playing field. Lenore has consulted on strategy, capacity, sustainability, and social impact with diverse organizations and coalitions, campaigns, and initiatives for more than 20 years. She was operations director for the 2018 Michigan ballot initiative that ended gerrymandering in that state. She's worked on battleground state election and voter mobilization strategies with such groups as Indivisible, Sister District, Swing Left, East Bay Alliance, and Femmes for Dems, not to be confused with Dykes on Bikes. I'm sure they would agree too. From the grassroots to the boardroom, Lenore's experience across race, class, gender, and culture has enabled her to build leadership at all levels and identify opportunities for greater impact. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, greater impact. Welcome, Lenore.
Hi, Steve.
Well, you know, you were involved in a successful Michigan ballot initiative in 2018 to end gerrymandering. To what do you attribute the success, and what lessons have been learned for this upcoming election year?
Well, it was right after the 2016 election. In the moment, right before the Indivisible Guide was released in December, and Katie Fahey posted, as she did faithfully every year, "Who wants to end gerrymandering?" With me, that year, people flocked to that initiative, and ultimately, it was from the ground up. It was a volunteer army like no one has seen in that state of nearly 14,000 people, who worked in every single county in the state of Michigan, worked across party lines to restore democracy to that state. Unfortunately, it won't be implemented until 2022. And there have been many obstacles along the way. But what was really incredible was that there was it was evident the taste and the hunger that people have to restore fair play in our elections, fair districting, and democracy. And that was seen, like I said, across party lines and across demographics, where people know that their vote doesn't matter the way that it should. And gerrymandering, ending gerrymandering, ending unfair drawing of district lines is one approach to starting to address that. So it was a combination, I think, of the point in time and the good leadership and the grassroots commitment, and that common commitment to cross every divide to find allies and common ground on the issue of restoring our democracy and fair play.
You know, it's interesting. I attended a conference 2 years ago in New Orleans, Unrig the System, that was put together by Represent Us. And once again, that is an organization that works across party lines to really literally unrig the system and, you know, get past all of the media by going to the grassroots. And so somehow you were able to, in the campaign, you were able to mobilize 14,000 individuals to do this. And I'm sure that it was pretty much a door-to-door campaign.
It was, a lot of the work was door-to-door. And in many campaigns, getting signatures to get on a ballot is something that's paid for by one or two large interests. And in this case, there weren't those resources. And so people really mobilized, and it was very much pulling in and recruiting friends and family, coworkers, neighbors, and then starting to build a structure to talk to everybody about something that matters so deeply to us all. I think it also helps when you see a very clear path forward to where you can have impact. A lot of us care about these issues, but not all of us are presented with an approach that makes sense to us and where we feel like our contribution can really make a difference. And there are plenty of opportunities like that, but certainly the ballot initiative 10 gerrymandering was one in Michigan, as there are initiatives like that and were around the country to address gerrymandering, to address voting rights, and any number of other things to expand our democracy and engage people in a way that can be meaningful.
You know, you're right about seeing something that's specific. You know, again, there are all of these issues that everybody likes to argue about and talk about and so on. But to see a specific issue that actually impacts the infrastructure, the system for actually voting, rather than the specific issues. Because if the system gets unrigged and if there is fair play that is restored, then clearly all of these progressive issues that people are so excited about will have a much clearer pathway to getting handled.
It's so true, Steve. And, you know, I saw where allies from all of the climate change organizations, for example, criminal justice organizations, people who know that Flint water still runs poison, people who care about education, people who care about income, about restoring, changing the extremes of income inequality, people that were working on those issues got deeply involved in this statewide initiative and have become deeply involved in state house races because they understand that it's virtually impossible to get traction on issues that matter to them if they can't influence their legislature and if their voices aren't heard at the ballot box. And so that's where a lot of issue activists, people who've cared and done extraordinary work on issues around the country, have found that they really can't move those issues forward in significant ways without changing what we're seeing at the federal government level and without changing what we're seeing at the state government level.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting because in our conversation a couple of weeks ago, you really came up with something that I hadn't thought about, that how much power there is in the state house elections while everybody's focused on the national elections. Say more about the state house elections and why is it that we can have more impact?
Well, it's very hard in this country to not get pulled in like a vacuum cleaner, just sucked right in to the, I call it the telenovela of the presidential battlefield. And the media is covering it 24/7. It's getting most of the airplay. It's something that is going on nationally. And people are spending enormous amounts of time debating it on social media. But step back for 1 second. And if you look at the full picture, there are a few things that can really help shift thinking to effective action. One is, if we want to see a change at the presidential level, what needs to happen? One thing is we're going to get a candidate. The other thing is that we have to mobilize large and, in fact, larger numbers of voters than in the past. And what are the best ways to do that? Well, people argue about, you know, we can't win if we have a moderate candidate, or we can't win if we get a progressive. That, you know, that Democrats are fighting, independents are fighting over, there's not going to be a path forward if we don't elect somebody either from one side or the other. And in fact, despite kind of polling that addresses current media cycle issues and a poll here or there in a different primary state. In general, the Democrats can beat Trump nationally with either a moderate candidate or a progressive candidate. Now, I know where I lean, and most people know where they lean, but it's very important that we all know that in addition to voting, in addition to putting in our 10 or 15 or 20 or $25 to keep our candidate on a debate stage. What we all need to remember is that almost any of those candidates will do better for us than the current president, who is violating rule of law and violating and putting our planet, our citizens, and the world at risk. So it's really important to maintain that perspective. And it's very important to be able to talk to anybody about why any Democrat is better. And we do have our preferences, and we can push for something more or different. But this is really a different level of need than in the past. So that's first. I'd say secondly, the presidential campaign is going to end up spending over $1 billion, mostly for media and consultants. What people don't know is that presidential campaigns do not register voters. And voter registration to expand the base is going on right this minute. And it's going on at state and local levels. And people think that their money there is going to help with voter engagement and so on. But right now, especially during primary season, most of the first primaries are not in battleground states. They're not in the states most critical to win the election. It's in those battleground states where folks are already working and have been working for months, registering voters, engaging voters on issues, and working hard on down ballot races for state houses, that the action is going on right now and where we can have the biggest impact. The other thing is state house races are places where $150,000 or $200,000 can win a race. It used to be closer to $60,000. It's a little bit more in this heated environment. But it means that donations go a lot further in those campaigns. And they're doing the granular door-to-door work right now, mobilizing voters. And others in those states are also doing the grassroots face-to-face voter registration to expand the electorate. And so those kinds of activities all roll up in those swing districts, in the state houses, and in those communities where voters can, where there's a lot more opportunity for voters to engage, to register, or to re-register in battleground states. There's a lot more to be done and a lot more that's being done that actually will roll up to contested Senate seats, contested, and certainly to the presidential. So that kind of work will have an impact on the presidential, but you'll get kind of four times for your money and your time. You'll register voters, you'll expand the electorate. You can flip state houses and state house races in those battleground states, which are so important. You can, it'll often roll up to either a U.S. congressional seat that's in contention or a Senate seat, and you'll have an impact on the presidential race by getting more voters engaged and out early. So you get a bigger bang for your time and money. And the other thing I would suggest that people remember is that when we talk about battleground states like Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, now Arizona, and others, Pennsylvania, those states are generally characterized by having Republican-controlled state legislatures that will draw district lines for 10 years after this 2020 election. So in most of those states, flipping those state legislatures will create fairer districts for people to run in for the next 10 years for both state house elections and in U.S. congressional elections. They also, these battleground states also generally have gerrymandered state and federal legislative districts. They have voter suppression. So flipping state legislatures is key to ensuring fair elections and voting rights. It ensures fair districting after the 2020 census. It ensures better policy on climate, choice, income inequality, criminal justice, education. And it's that granular early voter engagement for U.S. House, Senate, and presidential turnout that's so critical.
Great. Well, you know, we're going to take a short break. That was brilliant. We'll reiterate it when we come back. This is Steve Behrman, Wiki Politiki, our guest Lenore Goldman, talking about state house elections and having him. We'll be back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Well, this is Steve Behrman. We're back with Wiki Politiki. We're back with our guest, Lenore Goldman. And I really appreciate that that your perspective, that short form is that by changing the state legislators, by focusing on the grassroots, you have much more leverage. You spend less money. And, of course, in registering people to vote in the state elections, those people are going to vote in the congressional and the national and the presidential elections as well. So that's really where the action is. Instead of focusing on who the candidate is going to be, recognize that whoever it is, the important thing is to, as the Swami would say, fire the first big shot of this evolution and have regime change. Another question, Lenore. I want to get back to, before we go back to the current political stuff, I'm just curious about your lifetime involvement in politics. Your political activism, I've known you many years, 40 years probably, goes back a long way. In fact, when we met, you had worked with James and Grace Lee Boggs in Detroit. I knew about them, but probably our listeners didn't. So, you know, what was your initial political training?
James and Grace Lee Boggs were longtime activists who ended up landing in Detroit. And there's, in fact, a wonderful documentary called American Revolutionary, The Life of Grace Lee Boggs, by filmmaker Grace Lee, by coincidence. And and it's available on POV, on PBS, but it's terrific on their lives, and I really recommend it. But their legacy lives on in Detroit. My work with them was as an activist. They were organizing people to understand to work with grassroots activists to understand the importance of visionary leadership and critical thinking in rebuilding and re-inspiring our communities, our cities, our rural communities, and our nation through the power of ideas, through changing ourselves, our communities, and as a result, the nation. And so I used to sit in their living room as a teenage activist and once a month, and they took our ideas so seriously. And they continue to inspire me today, even though both have since passed, Grace at the age of 100.
Yeah.
And but I can tell you that one thing that has stuck with me and I really think about all the time is Jimmy once said to me, you people, when you talk about community, you're talking about affinity groups. He said, a community is not just people like yourselves who think like you or believe like you or act like you. There's a place for that and there's a value in that, and it can help you to be in an affinity group. But he said, community is where you're dealing with the people who aren't like you, but you still have to work things out with them. It's being able to manage relationships across divides for the betterment of everybody, whether it's in a neighborhood or a workplace or in political engagement. And that's something that stays with me, because when I worked on the campaign to end gerrymandering, I was working with people across party lines. I was working with people across every kind of demographic. And it was really listening carefully to find where they felt that their vote didn't count and what they could and what they wished could happen, and making the connection in different communities, how that thirst for engagement and impact is there across all of those lines, and finding those common areas of common ground to keep moving us forward.
Very interesting. You know, I found, I met them many years ago, too, when I did my Pathways magazine. I interviewed them. And like so many people who've been involved in organizing, ordinary people, let's say, their mission had so much to do with education, helping people learn these distinctions that, that allowed them to be more powerful than they've been. And it is really about real people, as you say. And often what happens is so much of the discourse is up there in the sky. And meanwhile, down on the ground, there are real needs. And perhaps one of the reasons why Trump was elected, she was sort of elected, was because people were not being heard. The people that probably Jim and Grace would have encouraged conversations with, they were disenfranchised because they felt not listened to by the elite. So
that's absolutely true, Steve. They not only aren't listened to, but they're systematically pushed away. And so this is where, when you kind of flash forward, a lot of the kinds of people that are, you know, I categorized it as voter registration, but frankly, there are disempowered communities all over the country where people see what's going on, but they haven't had a voice. And there are organizations that are developing leadership in those communities across all kinds of lines around issues that are now realizing that how important it is that they start registering the people that they're working with to start doing the same, to provide that leadership in the electoral arena in ways that they didn't in the past. So it's really interesting to see communities where, you know, where people just have not had a voice in the political arena and they can speak out on an issue, starting to realize that they need to vote and that it's that in numbers we can really flip what's going on, and certainly showed that in 2018 where so much changed, and it really was an early test of our capacity together to make a difference in these elections that looked so out of control and so out of our hands.
You were telling me in our other conversation that, I don't know if this was your campaign or one that you were working on or one that you heard about, but essentially when people, the campaign had to do with speaking to people about the issues that matter to them, a nonpartisan canvassing campaign to speak with people about issues like health care, et cetera, et cetera. And then once their opinions on that were gleaned, they were then shown which of the candidates actually supported their opinions and which didn't.
Absolutely. Working America is one of the exemplars of what's known as deep canvassing, issue canvassing, where they talk to working class voters who may have voted Obama and then voted Trump, or flip between parties and are trying to figure out what's going to be best for them. They directly go to those voters because those are not the voters traditionally that the Democratic Party would go to. But they're not people who necessarily are part of, you know, part of the right-wing base. They really, they're really struggling to find a way to make their lives better. And by having real conversations in a nonpartisan way about what issues matter to them, about why those issues matter to them, about which direction they lean politically, but what that also means to them, then they can go back to people who say, you know, I'm leaning away from this guy because it's not getting better for me. They can come back and say, here are the candidates, whether it's a Senate race, a presidential race, or a state house race. They can go back to those same voters and say, here are the where they stand on that issue that mattered most to you, perhaps health care. And here's the policy for each of them. You make your own decision, and it usually is crystal clear. They, in fact, received a lot of credit for Andy Beshear, the Democrat in Kentucky, taking the governor's race in this last November's election, and which is seen as a harbinger of some challenges that that Mitch McConnell may have in the Senate race to come. But people like them are doing that kind of issue canvassing. And then so are organizations that work primarily with people of color who are working, whether it's the Dolores Huerta Foundation in California, whether it's Mi Familia Vota, or whether it's Black Votes Matter, or grassroots groups within particular states. One Fair Wage campaign is talking with tip workers who in 44 states are earning sub-minimum wages as low as $2.10 an hour, and who are mostly living in poverty and who tend not to vote or be able to vote very easily. And they're talking to them about why these issues matter for them in this upcoming race and engaging that group of people in getting involved in the elections and why, in order to get traction on getting one fair wage for everybody. So we're seeing this kind of issue and deep canvassing occurring among many different kinds of groups, particularly in working class communities and in communities of color.
Well, you know, the Swami has said that we have two political parties in this country, the Democratic Party and the Undemocratic Party. And if we look at the tactics that the Republicans have used for years, I mean, this is all of the spawn of Richard Nixon, whether it be the Powell Memorandum that activated all of this big, big, big money going to, essentially defeat any issues that would impact the bottom line, profit bottom line. We also have Fox News, founded by Roger Ailes, and many, 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 many people watch and listen to Fox News. And, that's one of the key contributors to people not voting, either not knowing which candidates represent their interests, or being sucked into these other cultural issues, culture wars issues, and so on. And you told me about this one campaign where the Republican candidates at the last minute was actually put an ad on that played that claimed that his position was exactly the opposite of what he actually believed. Say more about that. I'm not remembering.
Sure. I think in this day of misinformation, I would just mention that Fox News was preceded by the end of the Fairness Doctrine. And the Fairness Doctrine in the Federal Communications Commission was what required anything called news to be fair and balanced and had very strict criteria. And that was taken out as cable came in as a way to enable really propaganda machines like Fox to take power. And so in this period of misinformation, it is confusing for people. Unfortunately, it's being leveraged even more with the gloves completely off. If you go to a battleground state in the last couple of weeks of an election, and people in 2018 will know this among your listeners who have been in battleground states, there was a mass effort by the GOP for all the congressional races, governor races, any number of races, to run ads that said that it was the GOP candidates that had been fighting for the ACA and to ensure that people's pre-existing conditions would not stop healthcare coverage. It was the opposite. You would have candidates who had voted 50 times to end the ACA in Congress. You would have candidates who fought tooth and nail to gut it completely. And they would run ads that said the exact opposite. We're your champion for healthcare, as they saw the polling that Democrats were winning over health care because people had been fighting for a year and a half to protect the ACA and protect what health care they had. So that is the kind of tactics that is very common. It's kind of like the lies that we see from the top, where if you say a lie enough, then you don't really know what's the truth. And then it confuses people. And it's very similar to the Russian bots and what people see in social media, where outright lies are being promulgated. And that's already going on during primary season, it particularly targeting voters of color. So this is where I have to say, it sounds really trite, but face-to-face human engagement matters. People are tend to vote with those, if they're on the fence, they tend to vote, or unsure or confused, they tend to vote in the direction of the people that they have real conversations with first. So this is where early conversations on issues, early conversations in state house races, door-to-door canvassing, actually really does make a difference. And whether you're reaching out to your own circle of influence, your own friends and family, your own organizations, getting trusted messengers to speak to their organizations, recruiting friends, all of that, people listen to you and those conversations matter. But in targeted voter contact, where they're really looking at, where campaigns are really looking at, whether it's voter reg campaigns or political campaigns, electoral campaigns, candidate campaigns, they do very targeted voter contact to have real conversations with people, not just the last week before an election to say, vote for Susie, but where they are having conversations now about issues, and they have time to talk, and they haven't been swamped with phone calls and door knocks. And so the work that's done now, face-to-face, in real time, in battleground states, is probably more important than the conversations we have with our own friends and family. Probably make a bigger difference than anything. And phone banking, you know, for however many people don't answer their phones and block their calls and all the rest, phone banking right now that we've been doing on voter registration to support battleground states, people answer the phone because we're providing a service. And when they do, they want to hear, you mean I was taken off the voter rolls in North Carolina or Virginia? Mm-hmm. Or in Wisconsin, it's where they're right on the brink of it. People say, oh my gosh, I thought I was registered. How can I re-register to vote? So
that's really helpful.
So these kinds of conversations that are going on right now, whether it's through phone banks or canvassing or meetings or gatherings, especially in battleground states, or supporting them, make a huge difference.
Good. Well, we're going to take a little break. We got to take a little break, yeah. And then we're going to come back and talk about which of these organizations you can support. CFAM and WikiPolitiki will be back very shortly.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
The student asks the teacher, how do I experience transformation? The teacher replies, when the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, how do I know what deeper questions to ask? And the teacher replies, when the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed. Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, hi, this is Steve Drummond. We're back with our guest, Lenore Goldman. We're talking about the battleground states, local elections, and canvassing. Years ago, I read something very interesting, and it was that the anti-abortion people figured out something. They figured out that they could use their energy much, much, much better rather than arguing with people who they disagreed with. They decided to mobilize the people who agreed with them. And I think that this may be a time when people who somehow get energized in one way or another by, engaging their Donald Trump-supporting friends and relatives with slings and arrows, maybe there's a better way of use of that energy. However, there's kind of an emotional buy-in that people have to engaging in arguments. How do we shift that that energy toward actually doing something functional, helpful, that will really move the dial?
I think this is, I think that when we're faced with such an overwhelming feeling of anger or anxiety about the state of what's going on right now, the best antidote is action, not argument. And it's action where you see a real tangible result multiplied by others like you that can help us all sleep at night. I also think that that there are different things that are going to be needed. This is really an all hands on deck time. So if you've got somebody who you know is somebody in your personal circle, you'll have a conversation with them over dinner about shifting. And if it seems like there's room there for growth or for opportunity to learn, great. But in terms of the volumes of hours people are spending on social media, there's a lot of things that can make a much bigger difference. Would you like me to share a few?
Yes, that would be perfect. Exactly right. Yeah.
So I think if people think every time they're feeling anxious or angry, every time they're stirred up on social media, for every minute you spend in that state, think about how you could spend a minute doing something that actually will make a difference. And I'll tell you the three biggest categories at this point in time in the election cycle are to act now, to take action, and I'll tell you where and how. Number 2 is to give now, donate. Early money is critical to elections, and I'll tell you different ways to assess where to give now. And think about adding a 0. And the 3rd thing is recruit now, because every vote matters and every volunteer is needed, whatever you have to spare. And the thing that it sounds like a cheap shot, but it really isn't. If you ever wondered what you would have done in the 30s in Germany as Hitler rose to power, you're doing it now. And there were plenty of people wringing their hands. There were plenty of people arguing. There were too few people acting. And this is something that we can do. So in terms of action, depending on where you live, I'm in the East Bay of the San Francisco area, and we've got a great coalition that has nearly over 20 organizations lined up in the East Bay Activist Alliance. But there are groups like Swing Left, Indivisible, Sister District, Together We Will, Democrats, the Democratic Party, and some of the Democratic Party clubs, and then lots of issue organizations that are working proactively on voter registration and are actively working already on down ballot campaigns. For a few of us, if we're in love with a presidential candidate, go in peace, follow them full time, that's great. But most of us aren't doing that and can't. So whether you're in a battleground state or whether you're not, whether you're living blue or in a red state, there are people to connect with. If you connect with people, you will get more motivated to stay involved. And in terms of the actions that matter most, I would probably say canvassing is first, registering voters or on key flippable districts for state houses in battleground states and for Senate races. And there is phone banking, which is more effective than texting, which is more effective than postcarding. So if you can push yourself now, especially when there's so much great phone banking to be done on voter reg right now all over the country, push yourself, give it a try, because it's a numbers game. And if I register one or two voters in the course of 1 or 2 hours of calls, I have spared people in battleground states who need to be doing the face-to-face contact, or for people who, who can't in battleground states, can't go door to door, this kind of phone banking can really matter, or tabling, or any number of things to get voters registered. And young people, college campuses, high school seniors, all of that makes a difference. Second is to give. And whatever you're giving, add a zero. Early money, they say, Emily's List always said, early money is like yeast, it raises the dough. The more money that's received at the front end means that people can buy media time at discounted rates. It means that they can talk to larger donors and say, see, this is really viable. We really are making a difference. And they get money earlier. And it's at the front end that we have to load this. Everybody scurries around at the end, but the more we can do at the front end, the more of a difference we'll make later. So please give early, please give now, please add a zero. And places I recommend are voter registration groups in battleground states. Reclaim Our Vote is one that we've worked with a lot. There are groups like Black Votes Matter, Mi Familia Vota, and any number of groups that are doing that. Movement Voter Project gives to lots of different groups around the country. And right now we're doing a small campaign for Reclaim Our Vote that focuses on registering and re-registering people of color in battleground states. And then secondly, for giving, for first quarter, I'm recommending the Michigan State Dem Fund, because they're helmed by a progressive and they're four seats away from flipping their state house, which is critical for 2020. And there are other places where they're also working to flip state houses in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, and other states around the country. But those are ones that we know can flip. And there are people working in North Carolina, in Wisconsin too. And so efforts to flip state house races and fight funds now before there are candidates that have cleared primaries. A good bet for right now is the Michigan House Democratic Fund. And then recruitment. Reach out to people that you know and ask, are you registered to vote? Your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, college kids. Are you following these campaigns? Would you join me in making a donation? They need our support, and early money matters. You can talk to the people you know just that way. And finally, ask your friends and family, would you volunteer to register voters or to help flip seats blue in the Senate, in state houses? Because every vote will count. And the organizations I mentioned, and there are many, many, many more, are good places to start, to find a group near you that has actions and activities that you can get involved with. And if you can put 2 hours in January with a group you know, or reach out to them if there isn't a group that you found near you to find out how you can get involved, then I can tell you that it will be heartening, you'll sleep better, and you'll also find friends and allies that will make it easier to keep doing that, because we really, it really is all hands on deck. And even a couple of hours a week will make an enormous difference. I've calculated that if 100 of us had registered one voter every hour through phone banking and volunteered just 2.5 hours a week, 100 of us could register 11,000 voters. I mean, this is serious impact when we're talking about races, including the presidential, that were won and lost by less than that. So I think that there's a way to have impact as well as find community during this cycle, because your children and grandchildren will be asking, what did you do in 2020 when our democracy was on the line? And we're looking at a situation where the rule of law is going right out the window. And if that happens, we definitely will not have all of these vehicles for making a difference that we have now.
You know, I think that part of the issue on the progressive side until now, until 2016, is not really being willing to look at the heart of darkness, at what's really been going on, and just imagining that sociopaths are like the rest of us. And you know, it's a sociopathic entity that we're fighting, and Trump is simply the poster boy right now. What I would like to do, because we're going to be posting this interview on the WikiPolitiki site, you're hearing it on Om Times right now, we're posting it on the WikiPolitiki site, and I would love to have a list of organizations, and I would love to have a where people can go, and I'll, you know, create links to these organizations so that people have an idea as to the kinds of things that they can do depending on the level of involvement they want to have, whether they do want to be face-to-face canvassing, whether they want to be doing phone banking, whether they want to be financially supporting the organizations that have the most impact. And also, perhaps, and as I'm thinking about this, creating a one-page, just a little card like that you can hand to people. Here are the organizations. Here are the things to do. 1, 2, 3. You know, particularly when you're at an event and somebody starts going off about how terrible the situation is, how terrible Donald Trump is, and on and on. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you say that. And so here's your action plan. And I love those statistics that you just gave, how a small number of people can have a large impact. And then even if it's a small district, that small district can have a large impact. And, you know, it's been said that the only way to overcome the power of organized money is through the power of organized people. And I think that there's enough of a clear and present danger at this point that all of the people who've been focused primarily on their specific issues are recognizing that right now it's really only one issue.
I couldn't have said it better, Steve. And it, whatever matters to all of us, these elections will make or break our capacity to make a big difference in whatever is closest to our heart. And so it isn't trying to get everybody to want to be an elections maven for the rest of their lives. It's understanding how together we can and must stop this in its tracks, and we have the capacity to do it through elections and through engaging and mobilizing and registering voters beforehand during this incredibly important year with less than 300 days left to go. So think this about is our, what we can do.
This is our grassroots victory garden that we're growing. We're all growing our little victory gardens. And
that's
in a
right.
minute, we have about a minute left. Anything? Well, I guess we don't have a minute left. We have less than a minute left. Thank you, Lenore Goldman, for joining us and really encouraging us to take that energy that we feel, that anger energy, and turn it into effective action. This is Steve Fairman. We're on Wiki Politiki. We're back again next week.